This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, this is the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport London. 2 minutes past seven on your Wednesday evening. Miles Blumsom here, joined by the guys from the SE7 podcast. Paul Sullivan and Martin Adkins here with me today. Thank God for last night. What a weird game football is. On Saturday, Charlton travel up to Stoke, up to the Bet365 to face fellow relegation contenders. I wouldn't say either of the teams are too in trouble at this point. Stoke get the win, 3-1. Not great from Charlton. And then last night, Charlton travel up to Nottingham, travel to the City Ground, and go and beat promotion-chasing form team Nottingham Forest 1-0. Lyle Taylor with the goal. Weird week so far, isn't it, Vin?
It has, yeah. I mean, as Jimmy Greaves said a long time ago, it's a funny old game, football, isn't it? And it is. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, and to be fair, I was on with Charlie last night, and we are unbeaten against the top six sides, aren't we, at the moment? So it's not a massive surprise that we'll go out there and get a result, but we didn't expect it, though.
Well, the only one we have failed against is our friends from P&E, because I think they're 6-8. But still good, top five. Yeah. And P&E Home and Away, who do a show with Charlie on Thursday nights, he put out a great tweet today, sort of highlighting how Charlton have remained undefeated against all these top sides, barring P&E, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Just to give them a bit of a plug, just to
talk
them up.
Yeah, we're just trying to help them out. But yeah, it's a phenomenal record. It's absolutely fantastic. But we just saw the Jekyll and Hyde of Charlton, didn't we, over the last few days. I mean, it was an absolute debacle on Saturday, as you can probably tell us about, Mark.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I was up there, when the team sheet came out, we was all in the pub thinking, what's he going to play here? Because you saw Cullen, Prattley and Davis, and I thought, well, they're all three central defenders, you know, at the tip of the diamond top, or the base of the diamond players, or defensive midfielders. And we were struggling to wonder what sort of like formation he was going to play.
Yeah.
And then when it came out, you know, we just never got going. I mean, he just got the team selection wrong for me. I think he just went up there too defensive. And we just never got going. I mean, I know we equalised, but I mean, that was a blessing in disguise, to be honest.
But they didn't learn, did they? Because they got that equaliser, and we saw how they were playing in that first half, but it seemed as if Charlton just carried on in the second half, and within seconds, the usual happened. You know, we conceded early. So there was no change in the tactics by Lee Bowyer, and he got a lot of criticism for the late substitutions. Obviously, we were 3-1 down then, and he brought more offensive guys on, like the likes of Oxtuma and Doughty. But then, as we saw last night, being more positive, being more up front, it shows what this team can do.
Do you think that's just a little bit of Lee Bowyer's inexperience? Because he still is a relatively new manager. He's a relatively young manager. He's worried in the Stoke game not to lose, because at the end of the day, going into the weekend, there was a gap between Charlton and relegation. So in terms of, it's not necessarily as must win as it would have been if there'd been a couple more points lower. But he's just thought, if we don't lose today, that's a good result.
Yeah, I think you could probably put some of it down to that. That's not a bad shout, you know. He did go up there for not to lose. You could definitely say that. You're right there, Miles. And, you know, the Charlton fans, you know, we took nearly 2,000 fans up to Stoke on Saturday. And, you know, we were, you know, very boisterous as usual. And, you know, we just never got going. It was just one of those days. So, and then, lo and behold, we got up to the City Ground yesterday and put in a completely different performance.
Yeah, yeah. So in terms of what was the difference in the City Ground, apart from being a bit more attacking, do you think that it's easier to be a little bit more positive against the top six because it's almost less pressure?
The thing is, Miles, we've got a young man in our squad at the moment called Alfie Doughty, and his pace is phenomenal. You look at him, he's very slight of, you know, you look at him in bodily wise, he's a slight young lad, and my God, he's so quick and he's very skillful. And when he's on the ball, and when he's running, when he does that first run and then the opposition realise how quick he is, it gets him on the back foot. And he's just very positive. He's a very positive player, as is Ostuma, who came in as well. And then, obviously, we then had Aidan McGeady to come on when they started getting a bit tired. And you could just, you know, you were right when you said about it the other week. So I was a bit dubious about the signing, but when he come on, he just brings out a bit of experience and a bit of quality, doesn't he?
Yeah, Lebo, you're really happy with him. Been praising Aidan McGeady after his debut. Do you think that he's going to be a key player going forward for the rest of the season? Can he break the starting lineup, or do you think he's going to be more off the bench to add some experience in these big games?
Well, with Lebo, you can't second guess him. You can't, though. That's the thing, Miles. I mean, you know, we did not expect what he did on Saturday. So come Saturday against Blackburn, after his little cameo against Forest, he might well start him Saturday and then play Doughty at left back. You know, you don't know, do you?
Yeah, I'm just genuinely excited the prospect of him and Johnny Williams in the same side. I know they used to play together in that relegation side up at Sunderland. Just finished the Netflix. I finally got through it.
Oh, it's good, isn't it?
It is superb, yeah.
It's a bit... You almost feel like you shouldn't be enjoying it because you're just seeing a lot of people's lives being crushed as Sunderland
I know.
Get relegated. But it is really good. But you do see... Well, when they say Johnny Williams and Aidan McGeady in the same side, Johnny Williams was injured for most of the season.
Yeah, and this is the thing on Saturday. That was a key thing because I think the Stoke boys were hunting in packs, and I think now it's becoming commonplace. When you've got a player like Johnny Williams, they all take it in turns to foul him.
I just find it's incredible. That's why Johnny Williams must get so many injuries.
Yeah.
He's got to be the most fouled player in the league. He has to be. I can't believe there's another player gets more fouled than him. And and it's not just our grapes either. I've said it in games that we've won. You know, he needs a bit more protection from some of the referees that we get in that division. And the referee we had Saturday, God, dear.
Yeah.
This is a fella that came over from Australia, I believe.
Right, yeah.
Stick to Aussie rules, mate. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, Aussie rules. Have you ever watched a game of Aussie rules?
Yeah.
I don't think there are any.
No,
it's
true,
ironic
yeah.
that it's called Aussie rules because it's a fight for the ball, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
That's what I mean. He was letting so much go on Saturday, you know. And again, not so great. We did deserve to lose on Saturday. But, you know, their last two goals are questionable on the offside, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But your point about Doughty, I think the fact that we played with a back four on Saturday and then we went with the wing backs last night, Doughty being one of them, that's what really turned it. For me, or one of the reasons, obviously, the form of Naby Sarr was just something else. And also the fact that Lamucci, I mean, he made five changes from the win against Leeds. And, you know, to look at that team sheet, you know, you'd be thinking he's almost putting out a second string for his side. Well, I mean, he dropped Grabham and Amoebi to save, presumably, for their game against West Brom on Saturday.
That's what you get.
That would have given Bowie a bit of a G up.
I said to Paul outside, you know, Bowie must have gone in with a team sheet into the dressing room before the game and said, yeah, lads, look, he thinks we're rubbish. He's put out his second string and he's done Bowie's team talk for him.
You just mentioned Naby Sarr. Great performance from him. There's been some calls for him to get a contract extension. Is he one of the players you want to see at the club long term?
Well,
one of the players to bring the club forward?
Maybe a bit of humble pie.
Absolutely. I ate the humble pie with Charlie last night, and you know I did say that because I have been critical of him because I said a few weeks ago, for a player of his size, he should dominate a 6-yard box, and he doesn't.
He still doesn't.
But you know. When he plays like he did last night, I'm done, and I can't say anything. The geezer had a blinder last night.
But that's what you want to happen. When you criticise your own players, you want if they're playing, you want them to prove you wrong.
You want to be proven wrong.
Let's face it, there ain't a player out there that will play 9 out of 10 week in, week out. That just don't happen.
No.
You know what I mean? So, but, you know, he played well last night, and he's an experienced player, so if Bowyer wants him and signs him up, then why not?
Yeah, I mean, what he did last night, the interception and that ball he put across for Lyle Taylor was phenomenal. It was just great to watch. But then within seconds of us going 1-0 up, he almost scores an incredible one goal. And if it weren't for...
That's Nabi Sarr in a nutshell, isn't it, really?
There you go. But Dylan Phillips saved the day, of course.
Johnny Burrow was talking to me in the handover just before the show about Lyle Taylor, whether it's bittersweet every time he gets a goal. But was that 9 for him this season, definitely chipping in. His attitude can't be questioned when he's playing at the moment. He's putting everything in. Is it bittersweet when he's scoring because he will probably be leaving at the end of the season?
It's yes and no, I suppose. I mean, Saturday, he wasn't really... But then again, none of the players really played that well. But then, just like Bo, you said, he had a quick chat with him after the game on Sunday when they were in having a little warm down and whatever. And then you see the way he played last night. He was phenomenal. He was all over the place. It was a Lyle Taylor of last season. And do you know what? If he scores the goals that keeps us up and then moves on, you know, we got him for nothing.
Yeah.
Let's say we've had our money's worth. And thanks very much, Lyle.
Well, as I said to Martin Bell on his show yesterday, I just think all I'm interested in is this season. If Lyle Taylor can help us out, and I can see with his body language now, since the transfer window has closed, you can see the resurgence in his game.
Yep.
And as Martin just said there, I mean, the last 5 minutes of injury time, he was still chasing down Samba, the goalkeeper. I mean, Hemed was absolutely knackered. He went off, but Taylor was playing for two players up front. He's getting back to his best form again.
And I mean, I guess even if he is playing to get a big contract offer from someone at the end of the season, at least it means you're getting the best out of him because he's playing to put himself in the shop windows. It doesn't sound great, but if it keeps you in the league, who cares?
Well, do you know what, Miles? I think the way the Championship football is, players are not staying for 5, 6, 7 years anymore. Mm. It's a 2-year contract, move on. Mm. I think we just got to live by that, haven't we?
Yeah, I just want us to survive this season. And you never know. He might change his mind. And, you know, with maybe a bit of money that we've got, we can sort of persuade him. Because, you know, we do love him. We love him down there. But if you look at his track record, he has moved on. He's had a lot of clubs. And he's looking for that one big final payday.
And why not?
You know.
You mentioned before about the switch to wing backs for the Nottingham Forest game. Is that the system you want to see going forwards? Does it suit the players more?
Well, it suits Alfie Doughty, that's for sure. and I just think you can't drop him. I mean, everyone get these fans go, oh, he needs a rest. The boy's 20 years old. He should be able to play 2 games a week for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And I felt more secure with the three in the middle there, Lockyer, Pearce and Sarr. I thought Pearce had a great game. Came in for a lot of criticism on Saturday, as did Lockyer for the third goal against Stoke. And then Sarr came to the table last night.
I think another player who doesn't get a lot of mentions in that back defensive line is Adam Matthews. I mean, his consistency is, you know, he's knocked Solly out of of any squads at the moment. He's just been fantastic, isn't he?
Yeah, I thought Stoke's first goal was terrible from his point of view. I mean, he just seemed to stand like a statue when McLean just peeled off at him for that free kick. But I was really pleased for him last night because he had a great game, did Adam Matthews. And generally speaking, as you say, Martin, he's been playing very well and he's deservedly keeping Solly out the side.
Matthews and Doughty in that wing-back formation, they just look really good, and I think it does suit them.
Yeah.
6 points clear now. Huddersfield and Stoke in between Charlton and the relegation zone. Huddersfield and Stoke both playing tonight. 6 points going to be enough?
I still think we've got a bit to do. I think we've got a very hard game on Saturday. We can't underestimate Blackburn. They had a good win last night, albeit they scored their 3 goals late on. But by all accounts, they completely dominated Hull, and they're on the periphery of the playoffs. So I think two evenly matched sides in many respects on Saturday. So, I mean, you know, the pressure will be back on if we slip up on Saturday. So, but turn it around. If we win on Saturday, then we can start to feel much more relaxed
and enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, the 6 points will only be enough on the last day of the season, Miles, at the end of the day.
1 point's enough. Goal difference is enough.
Well, yeah, exactly. 1 point's enough. So, you know, at the moment, we've got to say 6 points is not enough because, you know, it takes you have a little mini run of losing games and you're sucked straight back into it.
I mean, I don't know if you picked it up, Miles, but Lee Boy has come out and said his target is 47 points. He thinks that will be enough. So the 3 points we got last night goes towards that. So we're 11 off.
11 points shy. So what's that? Four wins. Four wins and you're there out of the remaining 14 games. Definitely doable. It's in Charlton's hands, and that's the main thing.
And the thing is, what we've got up our sleeve, we've got the Valley is pretty much a fortress, and we really do make it difficult for teams who come to the Valley. And we showed last night that we're capable of surprising teams. Sorry about that.
Popular. Mr. Popular.
Paddy's giving me the stare. Oh, my God. I think... we're capable of going to places like Forest and surprising them and getting the odd win here and there at places you wouldn't expect it.
Newcastle fans, by the way, Love Sport Radio is the place to go. Charlie Hawkins is hosting the Newcastle Fan Show over there. Here on Love Sport London, it's the Charlton Fan Show. Up next, we're going to be talking to Kevin Nolan from the South London Press. It's 7:17. This is Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Miles Blumsome here for Love Sport London. It's the Charlton Fan Show with the SE7 podcast. Paul Sullivan and Martin Adkins joining me. Charlton fans, if you'd like to get in touch, 0208 7020 558 is our number. Give us a ring or you can send us a message on WhatsApp. Tell us what you thought of the games earlier this week and over the weekend. The loss to Stoke on Saturday and then a massive win at the City Ground against Nottingham Forest last night, 1-0. We're joined now by Kevin Nolan from the South London Press. Kevin, welcome to the Charlton Fan Show. How are you today?
I'm pretty relieved and pretty happy, Miles. and I would be, wouldn't I? Because I was at Stoke and this result came as an absolute shock. I mean, I travel up by coach, as Paul Sullivan will tell you. I don't think there was one person on the coach who didn't feel we were in for a hammering. But it was a common sense performance. You know, unemotional. They played really common sense football. There was none of those screw-ups playing out from the back. They played out with aplomb, you know, passing to each other. And they took Forest on. And they were better than them on the night. They were the better side. It was a revelation. We couldn't believe it. And also, they capped it with a worldie of a goal. You know, the ref was routine, but they won it with a goal that belonged in another game. It was a tremendous performance. What can I tell you, Miles?
Well, you mentioned the Stoke game as well. You go to every game, Kevin. It's why we love football, the contrasting emotions. You can feel everything in a week in football. But how have you managed to get through this week?
Well, I was depressed coming back from Stoke. You know, you really feel you're scared for them. You think that's a shambles. And then they come out three nights later, and they're absolutely brilliant. They're wonderful. I mean, guys like Naby Sarr, of course, was the star of the show, and he couldn't get by without slicing one on his own bar, like, and everyone, you know, has palpitations. But you just know that he's going to slice it against the bar, not into the goal. He seems to be blessed sometimes, you know. And after that shameful surrender at Stoke, I'm gobsmacked. I'm just really delighted. They've got to carry it on, of course, because Blackburn are not going to roll over for them. But you've got to be really hugely encouraged.
Hello, Kevin. It's Paul here.
Hello, Paul.
You're right. Good to get you on. Obviously, we don't want to interfere with your viewing of Coronation Street tonight.
No, we've got 10 minutes to go there.
10 minutes
it's
to
all
go.
Hanging on. I'm a little worried about the Gary Windass and his behaviour. I really am. You know, I think he's completely out to lunch, that kid. You know, of course, we were on the coach, Paul.
Yes.
And Les Turner.
Good old Les, yeah.
Joined up with us and went back on the coach.
Okay.
By car. He was picked up by friends and taken home by car.
Right.
And after 5 months without hearing him sing Jingle Bells when Charlton win, we finally win and he's not on the coach for the return journey.
Oh,
so that was a bit of a downer. And none of us knew the words anyway, you know.
But going back to Miles' point there about the emotions, I mean, you as a journalist, Kevin, I mean, how difficult is it to pen a report after a game like that against Stoke on Saturday? I mean, it's You know, we can just put our hoods up and just go to sleep at the back of the coach, but you've actually got penned something.
Well, that's what I do, Paul, isn't it? I've been doing it for 34 years. If I don't know how to do it now, I never will. I just swallow my feelings and write what I think. And it is a pleasure to report on a game like last night.
Of course.
You know, there haven't been that many this season, you know. And even when we won against Barnsley, I thought that was shambolic. I thought it was absolute shambolic. The defending was chaotic. We staggered to the line. I was as pleased as punch to win, but I wasn't impressed by it. But last night, revelation. Everyone on that field, including Tom Hammer, Emmett, that gets a bad press, worked hard and put themselves on the line. It all started off with an absolutely marvellous block by Naby Sarr on one of their players. He started by blocking his shot in the first minute or so. And it sort of went from there. And it was just wonderful.
Kev,
and I think I'd like to go on record as thanking their manager for tinkering, making five changes.
Yes.
And working out a solution where he... I think he was telling Porkies when he said that Lewis Grab and the other kid, Shola Amiobi, were injured. Yeah, of course they were, Sambri. Of course they were. You figured, you overlooked us. You thought, no, the big one's on Saturday against West Brom. We can beat these with a subpar team. And I think he took a liberty with us, and he came unstuck.
He did.
And I'm all for him. I'm right behind Sambri in his decisions. I think he was terrific and did us a huge favour.
Right, Kev, it's Martin here. I was up
Martin.
Hello, mate. I was up at Stoke on Saturday.
Well, yeah.
I didn't make the Forest game. Do you think Bowyer's got to stop with playing a back four and just go with a wing back formation and play Doughty as the left wing back because he's just so dynamic,
the
boy, isn't he?
Yes, I do. I think we found out last night that is the best formation we can play with. And it frees up guys like Naby to, you know, be a real influence down the flanks and Alfie as well. Alfie's got this one trick. He just kicks the ball past a player and then challenges him to a foot race, you know. How fast are you, pal? He's got to learn a little bit more subtly, but he's a good little lad. Good lad, you know.
Yeah.
I like him. And mind you, I love all Charlton players. I'm besotted by them. Stupid, it's gone too far.
Kevin, are you confident for the game against Blackburn on the weekend?
Is this Martin again?
This is Miles. Miles again, sorry. Sorry.
Miles, let me tell you, you never ask me for a positive result. I am the worst Jonah. I by the time we play Blackburn Rovers, they will, in my mind, be an amalgam of Real Madrid, Barcelona and Juventus. And we have no chance. We have no chance. It's not even worth turning up. But I'll turn up anyway.
Yes.
And I remember a mate of mine, we used to travel up and down the motorway. He said, you know the first emotion I get when Charlton score a goal, Kev? I said, what? He said, surprise. I said, I know exactly. You mean now? I know. He said, I'm surprised. He said, I'm not delighted. That comes later. Obviously, I go mental like that, but I'm surprised. And then I checked for the linesman. I never assume we've got a goal. And I'm in that camp. So, Blackburn Rovers, I'm glad Bradley Dack isn't playing. I think I really rate that kid. I think he's a good player. And that will help. But they mullered Hull City last night, didn't they? 3-0. Mm. Mind you, I think Hull have turned it in for the season. I think they're going to be in a bit of trouble if they watch it. What else can I tell you, fellas?
You can tell us that you're going to go and enjoy your night and enjoy the rest of Coronation Street, Kev.
Well, it's not on yet, you know, Miles. It's not on yet.
I've not been watching Corrie for a while, I'll be honest. Barlow's still there, right?
Ken Barlow, yeah, he is, yes. And I think they're driving. It's abominable. They keep knocking each other down in cars. I can't believe it. They go outside and they drive into people, you know, and they do it on each other as well. I always look forward to the accidents, and then there's always a coma, you know. Beep, 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 beep. There's always a coma and an anxious family gathered around the bedside. I love it. and they all copied plots from each other.
All right, Kev, we'll have to let you go there. Kevin Nolan, thank you for joining the show from the South London Press. He's off to spend the rest of his evening watching the soaps, I think. Now, we have mentioned the number here, 0208 70 20 558. Of course, every week, Ahmed, it's not like you to call. How are you this week, mate?
I'm fine, thank you. Buzzing after last night.
Yeah, I bet. What would you like to say today, man?
Oh, I think you've talked a lot of it out. I mean, obviously, the dire, dreadful, disastrous display against Stoke.
There it is.
We've covered that. I mean, yeah. What I said about tonight was I basically said it was a superb, sensational, surprising and shocking result. I never saw that coming. I thought we were going to get well and truly thumped. So therefore, as your panellists have said, thank the Nottingham Forest manager for tinkering with his side and taking us for granted. Basically, we showed him otherwise, didn't we?
Yeah, and I thought another factor, Ahmed, was the fact that we took the game to Forest more compared with the Stoke game, because obviously we seem to be much more defensively minded. And I think personally that's the way to go, because we've got enough quality in that side to give teams problems.
I totally agree with you. I think you're dead right about the formation. 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, however you want to call it. I think that our team plays better in that formation than any other. Even the diamond, which I know Bowie is very keen on himself.
Yeah.
And it's because a lot of the players who we've got now who've come back can actually play that formation, and he didn't have that option before. And that was part of the problem. He said, I was picking players, but I was already having to work out the same formation because I couldn't change it because I had injured players who played that system and not other ones.
Hey, Ahmed, thank you so much for your call again. Same time next week, I'm sure. If you do want to get in touch, Charlton fans, 0208 70 20 558, of course, is our number here at Love Sport London, at Love Sport Radio. We're doing the Charlton Fan Show all the way through until 8 o'clock. Newcastle fans, head over to Love Sport Radio, where Charlie Hawkins is hosting the Newcastle Fan Show. Miles Blumsome here, joined by the team from the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan and Martin Adkins. Now, if you thought Kevin Nolan was a character, we've got another very larger-than-life character coming up next. You might, if you follow him on Instagram, know of Charlton Real Talk or the man in the van. Brad is going to be joining us. It's 7:30. This is Love Sport London.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Welcome back to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport London. Miles Blumsome joined by the SE7 podcast guys, Paul Sullivan and Martin Adkins. Going back through the recent games, and we'll be looking ahead to the Blackburn game a little bit later on with Rich Sharp from the Blackburn he's the Blackburn Rovers reporter for the Lancashire Telegraph. Looking back again to the game last night in particular, when it comes to teams like Nottingham Forest, do you think that, yeah, there were the five changes, which we mentioned quite a few times, and it might have been a little bit of overconfidence, but do you think you look at the teams in the top six and sometimes they can look down the league and think, oh, we're going for promotion, we've got this in the bag straight away?
Well, that was, as Kevin said just now, that Lamucci manager, he must have thought that. There's no way they're injured, not a chance in hell. So, yeah, he must have thought, oh, they've just got battered up at Stoke. They haven't won away from home since, can't remember last time, our home last away win before last night.
Oh, it was Reading, wasn't it?
Oh, Reading, yeah. So right back in August, September time.
Yeah, 12 games.
Yeah, so yeah. We haven't won away from home for ages. So, yeah, of course, it's just natural that you'd think, oh, we'll win this easily. So.
Right, if you are a big social media user, you might have come across Charlton Real Talk man in the van. I certainly have, and he's a big character. He's joining us now. Brad, welcome to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport. How are you today?
Oi, oi, what's happening? It's Brad-o!
Oi, oi! How are you feeling after the game last night, mate?
Oh, absolutely buzzing. If you've seen the video from today, Charlton Real Talk, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, all of you, you know that I've done a very good video today of being absolutely buzzing, singing my heart out and everything like that. I wasn't there at the game last night and I watched all the highlights and stuff like that, but yeah, absolutely brilliant. It's just a fantastic result last night.
So does that get you underway, buzzing, ready for Saturday at Blackburn? It's a sellout, so we're all going to be singing and getting behind the team.
Well, everybody needs to. And if you don't, then why not? You know what I mean? It's a fantastic opportunity for everybody to just get behind the boys again. And, you know, being a sellout, it's going to be fantastic. You know, Doncaster game last season in the playoffs was absolutely phenomenal. And for me, that was a bit more of a special game than actual Wembley. That's probably controversial saying it, but the Doncaster atmosphere was just unbelievable. And it's just absolute buzzing, especially everyone on the pitch at the end of the game. And hopefully, obviously no pitch invasion this weekend, but, you know, it's just getting behind the boys and staying positive and keep them going. They always say that they can hear us and we're the 12th man, so we've just got to keep on banging that drum, as Bo said, and, you know, just get behind the boys.
Yeah, Brad, great to have you on. I mean, how did this concept form in your head about the man in the van?
Well, to be honest, it was just a bit of fun, really, with the Joe Aribo sort of saga, with his transfer going through. I just did a little fun video, and more than anything, just to do it as a bit of a wind-up, really, and it just took off from there. People were saying to me, oh, you know, you sound pretty good on what you say, and your videos are pretty good. So it just took off, and then I was down at the pub before a game, and some people came up to me and was like, oh, you're that man in the van. Actually, that kind of has a little ring to it. So it just went from there, really. It's grown out of nothing to a little something, is what I've called it, because I don't look for attention from getting likes and getting views or anything like that. I just do it as my own views, my own opinions. You know, people might say to me, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And have a chat with people. But it is literally just a bit of excitement. I do it when I'm thinking about, like, the game and a game coming up, or a game after, review after the game. So it's just a bit of fun, really, and it's just escalated into, like I say, a little something that I like to do. And but you know, people can buy merchandise now, which is
yes.
Unreal, because when I get a message people want to buy it stuff, I'm like, people actually want to buy my stuff. It's unreal.
Brilliant. I mean, how many autographs have you been asked for so far this season, Brad?
To be honest, I've actually had a few people come up to me and ask for autographs, but I don't really want to sign any autographs because I feel like I'm being a bit, I don't know, it's a bit sort of weird, really. And like I say, I'm not looking for that, but I'll have a photo of anybody, to be honest. But it's just a laugh, really, and it's just good fun. It makes people entertained, really.
Let's talk about the club, about Charlton itself. How happy have you been since ESI have taken over? You're happy with the new ownership? You're happy with Matt Southall as well taking the reins at the club?
Well, look, they've only been here 5 minutes. Do you know what I mean? So we can't really have much of an opinion about what they've done so far. You know, a lot of people say about, we've only got loan signings, where's the money coming from? Is it going to be spent here? Where's it going to be spent? People worried about the training ground and the actual ownership of the club, like the Valley sort of. So, you know, it's great. It's absolutely brilliant. I think it's such a relief from the last regime. A weight off everybody's shoulders when they come in. It's like fantastic. You know, I remember doing a video on that actual day, a live video on Facebook, and I was just going absolutely crazy, thinking, oh my God, we've got loads of money, blah, blah, blah. And I think it's going to be a case of when the summer comes in, that's when it'll all really happen with ESI. You know, it'd be good times only ahead. And they've even said it, like, with their plan and stuff. So good times ahead. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am. But I just hope they continue what they said they're going to do. They actually follow up.
Yeah, and Brad, just getting back to your man in the van, you know, talking to you earlier, I mean, you want to expand this perhaps a little bit and start competing with James Corden, who does the car karaoke, but your concept...
You ain't got a patch on me.
Exactly. But your concept is to perhaps start getting some Charlton personalities in the van, and I think you've already had one already, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, I spoke to the club about it a little bit. We did a little thing with George Lapsley at the start, and then I thought, well, I need to go, like, I need to keep it real. So I wanted to do a few players. Obviously, they're contracted to the club, so they have to go through their own media routine with the club and the press and everything like that, and then maybe a few of us vloggers. You know, I don't really like to count myself in the vlogging side of things because I don't do it often enough, but I guess I am because I'm doing a video. But yeah, I've had John Robinson in the van. We did a little video about that, about his time at Charlton. We've got a few other legends lined up, hopefully. A few people. I don't really want to mention too many people because if it doesn't happen, then, you know, it's going to look pie in my face sort of thing. But hopefully we're going to be doing something with Gary Nelson in the future, and maybe a couple of others. But ideally, I want to try and get a couple of the current players and I always do like fan in the van. I'm happy to do fan in the van, so if anyone wants to do a fan in the van, just contact me. But yeah, the John Robinson one we did was pretty good because he spoke about his past at Charlton, what he thinks about Charlton now, and what he's doing now with his international recruitment for players all over the world, really. So yeah, it's ideally want to try and get some expansion on people getting in the van, players, current players, past and present, of course. I've did something called the 80s and 90s night recently at Charlton. That's on YouTube as well. So, yeah, interview with Bob Boulder and Colin Walsh, that's quite funny. And a little bit of Keith Peacock as well. So, yeah, it's good. It's good fun doing them. And I just want to do a few more, really. So hopefully we can get one current player. It was I've been knocking on Lyle's door for ages, to be honest, on Instagram and Twitter. Not badgering him, but you know, he's very well protected, so as they all are. But you know, there's a few current players, like there's family members that will contact me and say he would be up to doing it, but again, you know, it's down to getting authorization from the club, and I accept that because I know that it's a case of where my videos are a little bit left wing, with a little bit hyperactive, and the language sometimes isn't always PG. I'm trying to keep the PG going here myself. But, you know, it's just fun at the moment. So yeah, hopefully we'll get some more players in.
Now, Brad, Paul bringing that up to me makes me feel like he might have been putting himself in the shop window for an appearance on A Man in the Van. What about some podcasters, some Charlton podcasters?
I'm Z-list celebrities, I am.
I don't know. You're more than welcome to get in as long as you give it a little bit of sort of, little bit of how I am. You know, you can't get in the van and be like, oh yeah, I really like Charlton, they're my favourite club. You've got to get in the van and be like, oi, oi, we are stepping in. Charlton are like, so, really positive at the moment.
So what you're saying, Brad, because I sit in the West End, I'm not invited.
No, not at all. just because, I mean, it's quite well known that I'm sitting in the North Stand and stuff like that. But I used to sit in the East Stand many years ago. I've sat in the West Stand as well for a few seasons when my nephew was coming with me. Big shout out to Frankie, by the way. I know he's listening. Yeah, I've sat in the West Stand, and you'll be surprised that the noise that does actually come from the East Stand. Obviously, the West Stand have their nickname, the West Stand Library, but I know that everybody sings, and it's not always a case of the North Stand's better than anybody else, but that's where the noise is generated from.
And yeah, but we are.
When it comes to this. But, well,
come on, Brad. We are better than everyone else. Don't worry about it. I'm a nut cover then boy as well. So we are better than everyone else. See what it is.
Fair enough. All right. Let's go
then. I can take it. Listen, I know you wanted to bring up one other topic, Brad. Was you wanted to touch upon Charlton fans' anthem, which is the famous Valley Floyd Road. What did you wanted to say about that?
Well, this is a funny one because you know, recently there's been a bit of talk about. And coincidence that we played Forest last night, which is obviously a fantastic game and a fantastic win. But, you know, people say about like Valley Floyd Road, and there's been a bit of a debate about it, needs to be slowed down and stuff. All I would say is that you sing it how everybody else sings it at that time. So if you're at Wembley and it's coming through the speakers, which is a great speaker system, we all know that the speakers need to be changed at Charlton and get updated, and especially in the North Stand. But for me, it's like, Valley Floyd Road is such an anthem that has so much passion behind it. You learn it as a kid, or learn it whenever you go to the Charlton. I remember when I learned it when I was younger. And it's a case of that song has got so much meaning. So it doesn't need to be slowed down. It doesn't need to be sped up or anything like that. It's as it is. Sing it as it is.
Yep.
At that moment, and in tune with everybody else. It doesn't matter if it comes across fast. You're singing Valley Floyd Road. Valley Floyd Road means something to everybody who's a Charlton fan, and if it doesn't, then obviously Red Robin does as well. But it's a case of just sing it as it is. It makes a moment any time. It doesn't need to be sung so much. I agree with that, as some people have said, but and I do agree with the club. Like, I've seen a few things on Twitter where it's like they want to make a moment and everything like that, and like similar to Forest, but Forest have their way of doing it, and it showed last night. It didn't work because we beat them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So go with Valley Floyd Road as it is. You know, as you see in the video that I've done today, Valley Floyd Road is how I start the video. And if you want, I'll do it now.
Go on then.
Go for it.
Valley Floyd Road. This is rolling in from the since 20.
Yeah. You carry on.
It's a waste to be found at Valley Floyd Road. Many miles have I travelled, many games have I seen.
Following Charlton, my favourite team.
Many hours have I spent in the cupboard and quiet. See Valley Floyd Road, my only desire. There you go.
Hey, well done, fantastic,
Brad. What a way to finish. Thank you so much, Brad. That is Charlton vlogger. You'll know him as Charlton Real Talk Man in the Van. Up next, Blackburn this Saturday at the Valley, 3 o'clock kickoff. We're going to be talking to Rich Sharp. He's a Blackburn Rovers reporter for the Lancashire Telegraph. It is 7:45. This is Love Sport London.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
The Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport London. Miles Blumsome and the SE7 podcast. Paul Sullivan and Martin Adkins on Saturday at the Valley. Charlton host Blackburn Rovers. Massive game. Blackburn, in pretty good form at the moment. We're joined by Rich Sharp, Blackburn Rovers reporter for the Lancashire Telegraph. Rich, welcome to the Charlton Fan Show. It's been pretty good for Blackburn this season after a few pretty, well, turbulent years.
Yeah, they've stabilised last year in the Championship after promotion, finished 15th with 60 points, and I think the ambition was always this year to push towards that top six if possible, get towards 70 points, and they're looking fairly well set, but they've been decimated by injuries, so it's going to be tough, I think, to really close that gap on the top six, even though they've got themselves into a decent position at this stage.
Yeah, Rich, that, I was looking at the highlights on Saturday. It was a lovely show of appreciation you showed to your old manager, Tony Parks, there, who's sadly been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and apparently he's besotted with Blackburn Rovers. That was a lovely touch, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mr. Blackburn Rovers is known at, served the club in as a player in virtually every single coaching role, and was the man, who was caretaker manager on so many occasions. And yeah, Rovers are pretty good at remembering people who served them well. They launched a Hall of Fame last year, and the second one is coming up, of which Tony will be inducted into that. So he's certainly a person who's well thought of at the club.
Yeah, and talking of managers getting a claim, I mean, your own Tony Mowbray, he just seems to go about his business in a very quiet and unassuming way. And I know the Middlesbrough fans, when you played them the other week up at the Riverside, gave him a warm welcome back. How do you assess the job he's done for Blackburn?
I think stability is the big word, which is something Rovers haven't had for so long now. When they play Brentford next week, it'll mark 3 years exactly that he's been at the club. And yeah, he's just brought a stability and a calmness to the place at a time where, they were facing relegation to Championship, to League One, sorry, couldn't quite keep them up, but brought them back at the first occasion, and then they've never been in trouble of going down again, and they've got a good group of young players who's looking to build together, and there's just some sellable assets and some value in the squad now, which is something they've not had for such a long time, and the fans have got an affinity back with the club, just trying to build for a brighter future.
I mean, you talked about the injuries you got at the moment. I mean, they pulled a decent result out of the bag last night, so how much of a miss is Bradley Dacklow?
Massive. I mean, they'd won 5 and drawn 1 games in a row. They went into the festive period. They'd got a pretty much clean bill of health. They lost Dak against Wigan. Since then, they've lost Joe Rothwell, Lewis Holtby, Corey Evans, Joe Rankin Costello, all basically attacking midfielders. So it's just decimated in that one area of the pitch. But you can't replace Dak. He's so unique in the way that he plays. He's a number 10, but he's got the goal-scoring instincts of a number 9. But Adam Armstrong is the man who's stood up, really, when Rovers needed somebody to step up. Armstrong really has. He's got 10 for the season now. He's got 11 goal involvements since the start of December. And he's the one, really, who you're now looking to, despite all the injuries they've got in that attacking area, if they've got any hope of making the top six between now and the end of the season. Armstrong's going to have to stay fit and going to have to keep having a massive impact.
How do you expect Tony Mowbray and Blackburn to set up at the Valley on Saturday? Do you think it's going to be an attacking lineup?
So pretty much under Mowbray, they've been exclusively 4-2-3-1, but they've run out of attacking midfielders, basically. So they went 4-4-2 against Hull yesterday. Danny Graham came back in and partnered Adam Armstrong. Sam Gallagher's been another, he's in, out injured as well. So all the attacking areas, really, they'll have a settled back five, goalkeeper in the four in front of him. It'll be probably Lewis Travis and Bradley Johnson then. And then it'll be Stuart Downing and Adam Armstrong, and then two more attackers from whoever's fit, really. So away from home, they're not a team to sit back and defend. They'll come and have a go wherever they go, even with the attacking injuries. So I think they see it as an opportunity coming to Charlton, having got back on track against Hull, having lost against Fulham last weekend. So I think they'll see it as an opportunity for 3 points and really go there with a positive mindset. And one thing they are very good at is starting. They've got 11 goals in the first 15 minutes, which is the most of any team in the country. So they like to start fast, get after you, get on the front foot. And if they can do that, that's when you tend to see them at the best.
What's the atmosphere and the feeling like round Ewood Park now? Because, of course, Blackburn have had a pretty bad decade. Venky took over, dropping out from what was a very strong position in the Premier League all the way down to League One. Now it seems to be improving. How is the feeling round Ewood Park?
You still get some people who won't go to Ewood while Venky's are in charge of the club, but just go to the away games. There's others who've still got the grievances with the ownership, but are willing to put that behind them and come back. And then there's others who've pretty much, you know, just got used to the fact that they're running the club, and while ever they're still there, they'll continue paying the bills. They'll not agree with everything that's gone on before, but things have settled down on that front. And Mowbray's been a big factor in helping with that stability on and off the pitch, really.
Yeah, and I don't know how many are coming down from Blackburn, because we've got this offer this Saturday. We've got football for a fiver, so it's a complete sellout in the home end. Did they extend that to the Blackburn supporters?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Oh, good, good.
They did, yeah. It's been well received from what I can gather. Mowbray was touching that. I spoke to him last night, and I think they're well aware of the big home crowd that Charlton are getting. I think he's expecting a really tough test. Obviously, they beat him on the opening day of the season. Obviously, the last time Rovers came, they'd secured promotion the game before. They filled out that end, which was supposed to be the promotion party. And then I think Mowbray made about 8 changes and they lost 1-0.
That's it, yeah, I remember.
So, yeah, they'll be coming down with a bit of optimism, I think. And, yeah, really good to see a full house.
What's your prediction for the weekend, Rich? Which way do you think it's going to go?
To be fair, I think the way, with the attacking injuries Rovers have had, most of the games are very tight. I know they scored 3 goals in 7 minutes yesterday, but Hull were pretty dreadful, and Rovers just found a way, really. So I can see it being one. I think there'll be a winner. It'll be 2-1 Rovers or 2-1 Charlton, I think. I can't see it being a draw, to be honest. I think both will see it as a big opportunity, and both will give it a go, and we'll see who comes out on side. But I do expect a tight game, probably not too much in it.
Rich, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Rich Sharp there, the Blackburn Rovers reporter for the Lancashire Telegraph. Guys, before we finish, are you looking forward to the game at the Valley on Saturday? Are you looking forward to Blackburn?
I always look forward to the home games, and again, it is a sellout in the home end, so it's going to be raucous. It's going to be, you know, a bit of a party atmosphere. Yeah, I am looking forward to it. And after the win against Forest, even more so.
What do you think the score is going to be, Martin?
I'm going to go for an Ollie Cook 3-0.
3-0. Decent. Paul, are you going to be as optimistic?
No. I actually think we've got two evenly matched sides here. I think Blackburn could be quite dangerous. But I am looking forward to it, because Paddy, our producer, is coming down. And we're going to have a few beers. And I'm really looking forward to Paddy seeing the Valley completely packed out with some of our decent players back. Because the last time Paddy came down, we didn't have a very strong side. So yeah, Hopefully you'll see the real Charlton on Saturday.
Can you look after him for me, please? Though I need him. I need him to be back in one piece next weekend.
Lightweight.
Good South London hospitality.
Great. So that's the problem. I'm not sure he can handle it. I need you to look after him. Bring him back in one piece, please. Guys, thank you very much. I'm actually not here next week. So in two weeks' time, I'll chat to you. Next week, you've actually got someone very professional joining. evening. Don't worry, it's going to be a much better show.
Don't be silly.
Who we got then?
Oh, I've forgotten his name. But someone really, really professional anyway.
Miles, 2 weeks' time, we're having a night off because we've got Sheffield Wednesday away.
3 weeks.
Three weeks.
I'll see you then. Thank you very much. That's been the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Up next, we'll be doing the Crystal Palace Fan Show with the Back of the Nest team. In the Championship, it is Fulham 1, Millwall 1. Mitrovic opening the scoring for Fulham. This is at the Den at Millwall before a very bad offside call has led to the equaliser from Bodvarsson. This is Love Sport London.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.